more rasping silence. The red began to fade. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and these are my sins." The darkened window separating Sean from absolution seemed to breathe, as if it could absorb his words. There was no face to fix his gaze upon. There were no eyes to catch with the torment in his own. It was a solitary void, a black hole, reflecting guilt back into his face like an empty mirror. "She was old, this one," he began, not waiting to be prompted. The sweat was heavy on his brow, already beginning to run in sticky rivulets down the sides of his neck and dampening his collar. "I think she was sick. Her breathing was loud, so loud." The haze threatened to descend once more, and he fought it back frantically. He had to concentrate. "She was loud, too loud. Father, I couldn't stand it. I tried to stop the noise, to concentrate. I tried to clear my mind. I know there's no excuse. It was too much. I had to stop her." The silence engulfed his inability to continue. He could see the scenes that screamed for release, could envision his own release. No questions rose to prompt his confession. No courage remained. His mind reeled, desire waging mindfuck wars with his drifting consciousness. "Father," the walls receded. Everything receded. Silence gained weight, substance. Nothingness became palpable. All faded to black. Then another vision rose, a vision of hatred, of punishing, unforgiving malice. "Father," he whispered, but it was not father, it was mother. He shrank back into the uncompromisingly hard bench, curling toward a fetal, submissive position, heart hammering. "Sean?" came the withering, ice-cold wash of her voice, erupting from his memory, from beyond the confines of her own grave. "You have been evil again." Not a question. "You were always evil. You were born as a temptation and a trial for a God-fearing woman. You must seek absolution." "I will, Mama," he whimpered. "I'll confess everything. You'll see. I'll go to the Father and—" "No, Sean, you know that won't do. Would you add your sins to mine? Would you burden me with the weight of your own evil?" "I will cleanse you. I will make you see the light. Only I—" "No," he startled even himself with his outcry. "You are gone. You can't come back to me, ever. I will go to the Father, and he will listen. I'll tell him everything." The eyes seemed to grow, expanding, until they were vast pools of swirling vertigo, grasping at his courage. "You will not tell. You are my burden, my cross to bear. I will cleanse you. Only I." Sean sat up with a start, sweat flying off his matted hair. His sheets were soaked. The sun blinked at odd angles through the half-closed blinds of his window. It was all gone. All but the memory and the lingering pressure of those hate-filled eyes. In the corner, he could see his clothes, crumpled and soiled. Beside them, stained a dark, crusty brown, lay the broken neck of a green wine bottle. Nausea took him instantly, forcing him forward in a heaving retch. His gut was a gnarled tangle of grasping barbed-wire talons, ripping and tearing with icy malice. "What have I done?" he thought, his mind reeling. How much was dream? Had anyone seen him? God, what was happening? But Sean knew only too well what was happening. His life was unraveling like a tattered banner, a white banner. Surrender. Maybe his mother had been right. Maybe he was just evil. As his breathing slowed, his frame was racked by convulsive shivers. The sweat on his skin grew cold, icy, and unforgiving. He clutched the blankets up about his shoulders, hugging his knees with knuckle-whitening pressure. At least the red had faded. At least his mind, for the moment, was his own. He knew he had to get up soon, had to cleanse the room, rid himself of all evidence. No one must know about the evil, about the red. No one must find out about him before he was able to make things right. And Sean firmly believed